I think everybody knows that our pastor, Brother Gabe, this morning is preaching at Katy Baptist Church in Fairmont, West Virginia. And let's remember him tonight. Mike Walker is preaching in that conference as well, and Gabe's going to go home with him tonight and preach for Mike in Cottageville, West Virginia, this evening. So we'll remember him, and you all know there's no service here tonight. So, all right, let's turn to John chapter 17 this morning. John chapter 17. I want us this morning to see some of the gifts that God the Father has given Jesus Christ the Son. Then I want us to see also some of the gifts that God has given to his people through Jesus Christ, his Son. And there's no better place to see that than in John 17. Now I'm going to read down through these verses and point out to you these gifts that I've mentioned. Chapter 17 of John begins with our Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples before he goes to the cross. And it says in John 17, 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Now pay attention here. As thou hast given, you see that word? When you give something, it's a gift. And it says right here that the Father has given the Son something. It says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. That's the first thing I want us to see. God the Father gave God the Son, Jesus Christ, all power. Isn't that what that says? Power over all flesh. Who's that? You and me. God the Father gave God the Son all power over flesh. That he should give eternal life. Oh, that God gave Jesus Christ his power over all flesh, that the Son could give something to God's people. Eternal life. You see, God the Father gave God the Son this power to give eternal life. Well, who'd he give it to you? Look. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to who? To as many as thou hast given him. There's another gift. Do we see that? God the Father gave this gift of great power to Jesus Christ, his Son. And his Son gave that gift, took that power, and made a gift to give the people that God gave him. Verse 3 says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That, folks, is eternal life. To know Jesus Christ. It seems too simple, doesn't it? If you want to live forever, know Jesus Christ. But that's a gift of God. Verse 4 says, I've glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. God, here's another gift. God gave Jesus Christ a work to do. Does it say anything in there about what part we have in that work? does it say he gave you a job to do? No, it doesn't say that. He says he gave his Son a work to do. You say, boy, that doesn't sound like a gift to me. If Dad comes out and says, go rake the leaves, go cut the grass. Well, that's one of the differences between perfection and sinful flesh. Perfection, Jesus Christ, when his Father gave him a work, he went right at it. He came to this earth, and I'll tell you what it says right there in that verse, he finished it. What's the last thing the Lord Jesus Christ said from the cross? He said, it is finished. God gave him the gift of this work to do, and Jesus Christ did it, and he finished it. Verse 4 says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work which you gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. You see that gift again? God chose a people and gave them to Jesus Christ. Out of all the people in the world that ever lived, God chose a people and gave them to Jesus Christ. Isn't that what that says so clearly? I've manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word. Now, they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. One of the things that's revealed to this chosen people that God gave to Christ is that it was all given of God in eternal purpose. Verse 8 says, for I have given unto them the words. God gave Jesus Christ, who is the Word. You'll see that capital W later, I'll show you. And you know what Christ did with that? He gave it to us. You got it right there in your lap. God gave us his Word by Jesus Christ. Verse 8 says, I have given unto them the words which thou gave me, and they've received him. If we ever wonder, am I one of God's own? Am I one of the people God chose and gave to Christ? You know what one of the evidences is? Right there it says, they have received the words. When we read this, do we go, oh, I like that. Oh, I believe that. Oh, that's true. That's receiving the word of God, which was given by the Father to the Son, who gave it to this people that God gave to Christ. And it says, and they have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. These people believe. Why? God gave them the word. He gave us a heart to believe. That's the evidence we have. Verse 9 says, I pray for them, and I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Here's that same phrase again. This gift that God made, he chose a people and gave them to Christ. It's a gift he made to his Son. Verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Here it is again. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. He mentions, he's talking to his 12 disciples here, and he mentions that Judah would betray him. Verse 13, and now come out of thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them, in themselves. Now, look at this. I have given them thy word. Is there anything more clear than that? Jesus Christ gives his people a great gift. It's this word. All the answers are in here. Questions are all in here, aren't they? But the answers are all right here. And our Lord says in verse 14, I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. If you want to make somebody angry sometime when they ask you a question, answer them out of the word here. Whew. Boy, that can get people upset. And yet, that's why we ought to give this answer. This is the only place there's any power, any truth, any substance, anything to say about eternal matters and about the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of this world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them. Now, that word sanctify means a couple of things. It means set them apart. How'd that happen? God the Father chose him and set him over here in Christ. He sanctified him. The other thing it means is he made him holy. How'd that happen? God gave the Son a people, and they were broken. They were a mess. They fell in Adam. So in order to be holy, what happened? Jesus Christ came down here to live a perfect life. And when he died, he gave them that holiness. He sanctified them. So verse 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If we read all of this word, we come to this conclusion. We're sinful. Jesus Christ is holy. We died. He gives us eternal life. He lived for us and he died for us. He sanctified us through the truth. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. To do what? To tell who Jesus Christ is and what he did and why he did it and where he is now. Verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself. Jesus Christ set himself apart. He was in glory. And this gift God made him of his people, they fell, they died. Jesus Christ set himself apart and came down here to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, make us holy. He said that he sanctified himself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither I pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, here's another gift. God the Father gave the Son all this glory. What did Jesus Christ do with it? He said, I gave it to them. Now, we don't much feel like we're very glorious, do we, right now? But do you know the minute we leave this world, we die and go to glory, you know what we are? We're glorified. We're made perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, verse 22 says, the glory which you gave to me, I've given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I and them and thou and me, and they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will. Here's the will of Jesus Christ. That they also, whom thou hast given me, there it is again, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I've known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I've declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Let me summarize this for you, what you just heard there. Seven times we read there that God the Father gave to God the Son a people. That's one of his gifts. Two times we read that God the Father gave God the Son all glory to do with as he pleased. We read then that God the Father gave the Son power over all flesh. We read that God the Father gave the Son his word. And then, in case anything was missed there, it says God the Father gave God the Son all things. Don't let there be any doubt about who's in control of this thing. Jesus Christ has got it all. God the Father gave it to him. But then, what did God the Son give to his people? It says his word. He made a gift to them of his glory. He gave unto them the gift of eternal life. And then, in case there's any doubt, God the Father gave Jesus Christ the Son all. And you know what it says about these people he gave him? They get it all. They get it all. That's all in one verse. I mean, one chapter here in the Word of God. Now, whenever a gift is given, we decide we want to make someone a gift. The first decision that we make is, what will the gift be? One chooses the gift to be given. You know, is that ever the other way around? Do you ever say you're going to get a gift for your sister and you go to the store? Do you walk in and you stand there and you wait for something to go, give me? No, say, I'm the perfect gift. No, that's ridiculous, isn't it? Gifts don't choose to be given. And listen, we didn't choose Jesus Christ. God the Father chose us and gave us to Jesus Christ. No gift chooses the giver. Seven times in John 17, it says, God the Father chose a people to be a gift to his son. God first chose us. We didn't first choose him. And then we may ask, well, where did God get this gift? Let me illustrate that this way. If you want to make a gift or give a gift, where do you get it? There's only two ways you're going to do that. Number one is you decide, I'm going to make a gift to give you. Or the other is, I'm going to go purchase a gift to give you. Isn't that where you get your gifts? You make them or you purchase them. Well, that's exactly what God the Father did, with this exception. He didn't do one or the other. He did them both. He did them both. You and I, we either make it or we purchase it. God the Father, turn to Genesis 1. Let me show you, first of all, he made the gift. In Genesis 1, God made the gift that he intended to give to his son. In Genesis 1, verse 26, we read, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the sea and the fish and fowl and the whole earth. And then look at verse 27. So God created man, he made man in his own image, in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Any question there? God made the gift he was going to give his son. Turn to Acts 20 with me. God made the gift, but then he also had to purchase the gift. You say, well, if he made it, it wasn't as his. Yes, but you know what the gift did? Oh, the gift destroyed itself. God made Adam in the garden, and you know what Adam did? The one thing he shouldn't do. He went and ate of the fruit of the tree, and he died. What kind of gift would it be if, let's say, Lacey decided to give for her sister's birthday, give Bethany a hamster. And right before you gave it to her, it died. You going to give her a dead hamster? Say that, whoa, oh, I don't like that. No. God didn't give his son to dead people. We died, but God didn't give us to him in that shape. You know what he did? He said, his son, I'm going to give you this gift. And Jesus Christ said, well, I'll purchase them. You created them. And now I'm going to go buy them. Buy them? Yeah, he bought them back from death. Look here in Acts 20, verse 28. What was the price that was paid? You see, Adam disobeyed God, sold himself into sin, and the gift now had to be purchased or redeemed from sin. This gift of people God gave to Jesus Christ is called in the Word of God his church. And God's Word teaches that these people, his church, was bought for a price, and it was a great price. Look at Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which what? He hath purchased with his own blood. The price of this people was the blood of Jesus Christ. He had to die in their place. His blood covered their sin so that now they have life again. And his righteousness, which he lived all the years he was on this earth, he gives to them. So now it's not a dead gift, it's a living gift. We have life. Where did we get it from? Jesus Christ gave it to us. It's a gift of God. Now, we tend to think of good gifts as costing a lot of money. And this gift was much more expensive than all the money in the world. It cost God the Father his most precious possession, his son. You know, we wrap gifts up, and that, you know, we purchase things for people we love, and we dress them up. You know how God, the gift, we needed to be dressed up. We'd done something to ourselves. We died. We didn't smell good anymore. We were dead in trespasses and sin. And Jesus Christ came down. He shed his blood to cover our sin. And then he lived his whole life perfectly. If you looked at his life, you went, oh, that looks good. That's perfect. Oh, that's just right. That's exactly right. You know what he does then? He gives that to us so that when he presents us to his Father again, we're all wrapped up. We're a beautiful gift. We look perfect in the sight of his Father. That's called the gift of eternal life. Because natural man cannot comprehend or understand the reasons and the motives of God, we resist the truth by nature. We refuse to believe the word of God, which reveals the purposes of God and salvation. And I want to very quickly give us four very brief reasons why God did this in this gift he gave as he did. Turn to 1 Samuel 12. This won't take long. Four sounds like a big number to the kids who've been sitting here this long already, but it won't take long, okay? Turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 12. The first thing we need to see is that God the Father had the right to do it however he chose to do it. David wrote in the Psalms, "Our God is in the heaven, he done whatsoever he pleased." David also wrote in Psalm 135, "Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that's what he did." And by nature, we don't like anyone being, you know, y'all hear the kids anymore, Adam's a school teacher. How many times have you been told over the years, of late especially, you tell somebody what to do, and they look up at you and go, "You're not the boss of me." You ever heard that? Yeah. We don't like having a boss over us, do we? "You're not the boss of me." I got some news for us. God is the boss of us. God's the boss of everything. And that's almost not like giving him enough credit for who he is. He's more than the boss. He's everything. He created us. He purchased us. Anything, he gives us life. He breathed life into us when we were dead. He has the right to do anything he wants with us. And that's what this says here in 1 Samuel 12, verse 22. Have you got it there? It says, "For the Lord will not forsake his people." He will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. God has the right to do what he will with what is his. And you know what this people is? We're his, to do with this he pleases. And God's not right because he does certain things. Did you hear that? God's not right because he does certain things. Let me tell you, whatever God does, that's what's right. That's what's right. If he determined to choose a people and give them to Christ, then that was the right thing to do. He did. He's always right. The second thing I want us to see, and turn to Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32. The second thing I want us to see is that God has the right to do as he will, and he also has the might. This one verse ought to be enough. This one verse ought to remove all doubt about God's ability, God's power to do whatsoever he is pleased to do. Jeremiah 32, verse 27. "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh." Is there anything too hard for me? No. I tell you, you ever been given a job? It's too hard for you. Can't do it. not with God. Let's not ever make the mistake of, turn to Mark 10 just a minute. I want us to see a scripture there. For you and me, it would be not just hard, it would be impossible. We must never make the mistake, however, of judging God's power or God's ability by the puny limitations of our flesh. Just because we can't do something, let's not be so foolish as to think God can't. Nothing's too hard for God. But with us in Mark 10, verse 27, we read, and the Lord Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible. It is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. It wasn't hard for God to do what he did. It wasn't hard for him to make this great gift to his son. It wasn't hard for God the Son to do what he did for us, to come and die. I mean, it seems impossible for us because we're so puny. But don't make the mistake. God has the right to do it, but he had the might to do what he did as well. And then the third thing, turn to Acts 15 with me. God not only has the might, he not only has the right, he also had the sight. Because he sees the end from the beginning. God does what is perfect always. In Acts 15, have you got verse 18? Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. God knew what he was going to do in the end before he ever set out in the beginning. Find Isaiah 46. God not only has the vision to determine what to do, but he knows what is wise and what is best to bring about his glory and the results he desires. In Isaiah 46, look at verse 9. This is a portion of scripture Brother Roy read. Remember the former things of old. He said, for I'm God and there's none else. I'm God and there's none like me. I declare the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I'll do all my pleasure. You know what his pleasure was? To choose a people, give them to his son, and have his son go redeem them, save them from their sin, and give them what they needed to be brought back to him, holy and perfect with eternal life. All of these are the gifts of God. But God not only has the might and the right and the sight to do all his will, he's got one other thing. He has the light. The light. Now turn to John 1 with me. Turn over to John 1. This is our last scripture, John 1. Have any of you ever been to, I know some of you have been to a concert. When I was younger, I went to some concerts. But maybe you've seen them on TV where somebody's performing. And what'll happen is that there's this big place full of people. And there's a stage there. And the lights are up and people are buzzing and talking and carrying on and whatever. And then all of a sudden the lights go down. And this spotlight comes on. And out comes a performer, usually carrying a microphone, and they come out there, and the place goes berserk. People clap and applaud and cheer and carry on and whatever. And you know what's amazing about that? This person hadn't done a thing yet. They haven't done a single thing. And everybody's out there, yay, whoa, boy, he's here, yeah, yeah, yeah. They haven't done a thing yet. What's wrong with that? I'll tell you what's wrong with that. The Word of God declares what Jesus Christ has done and who he is and why he did it. And you know what? You can't even get people to come and hear about it. Listen, he's not in the spotlight. He's not the spotlight. He is the light. And if we don't have the light, we don't see who he is, what he's done, what he did, and where he is now. Have you got this scripture, John 1? Nowhere in the Word of God does it make this more plain, what I'm saying. In John 1, if you got it here in look at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. You see that? Has that got a capital L in your Bible? That means when we say the word Ben with a little b, it means Ben, B-E-E-N. He's been there. He's been around. If I put a capital B on the word Ben, B-E-N, we mean a young man. We mean a person, don't we? Okay? This light, capital L, is not the word like coming out of these bulbs here or the sun shining. This is a person called the light, L-I-G-H-T. And John wasn't the light, capital L. That's not who this is. No, he came for a witness to bear witness of the light, verse 7, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that's what, Brother Gabe is not our Savior. The preacher is not the Savior. Jesus Christ is the Savior. And the purpose of the preacher is to tell us about the light, capital L-I-G-H-T. And it says, verse 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He is in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto who? His own. Who's his own? The ones God the Father gave him, this gift. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Until the light came on. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become who? The sons of God. Now there's something to think about. He has made us, if we see the light, you know what he made us? You're a daughter of the true and living God. We're the sons of God. That's just almost too much to comprehend. You know how we got that way? For the foundation of the world, God the Father says, I'll choose them, and son, here they are. This is my gift to you. And even though we fell in sin in Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ came down here, and what did he do? He redeemed the gift. He gave his blood. He shed it for them. He redeemed them to himself. And it says, verse 13, these sons of God, those that believe on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but they were born of God. He created them and he purchased them. And the Word was made flesh. The Word, see that capital W? If I say, here's a bunch of words, that's little W. If I say, here's the Word, capital W, we're talking about Jesus Christ again. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, folks at a big concert, the light comes on and they start applauding, and he hadn't done anything yet. Jesus Christ has done it all. And we won't worship him. By nature, we won't. But if God turns the light on, he shows us the light. You know what we'll do? Oh, we'll worship him, all right. We'll come and bow at his feet and say, what hinders me from being baptized? Can I follow him? Can I become his? I want to be one of his. And I heard this said one time that when I mentioned this, oh, that applause is for what they're going to do. Okay, have it that way if you like. All right? This performer could come up there and start trying to sing, and his voice cracks, and he gets off key, and he trips over the cord and falls down. One of them fell down the stairs recently. I read them somewhere. A big performer got up there and just fell all over the floor. Yay. No. That's not how it works, is it? No. Let me tell you something. Have it that way if you want. We ought to worship Jesus Christ for what he's done. But I tell you what, we also ought to worship him for what he's going to do yet. Because you know what that is? He's coming back for those people God gave his son. He's coming back and get us. And when he does, he's going to take us where he is. And then we'll see the end from the beginning too. We'll know as we have been known. If you want to applaud him for what he's done, we should. Let's applaud him for what he's yet going to do. He's fought the perfect fight. He sings the song of grace with perfect pitch. I hope one day I can sing like that. What a blessing that'd be. We ought to praise him for who he is, what he's done, where he is now, what he's yet will do. He'll accomplish all the purpose of God because he has the right, he has the might, he has the sight, and he has the light. I'll quote this scripture to you, 2 Timothy 2:19. The foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. You know how he knows them? The Father gave them to him. It was a gift. You ever get a gift? Have you got some gifts that you've received sometimes that it doesn't matter how long ago you got them? They're still just, oh, they're so precious to you. You remember who gave them to you? You remember when you got them? You remember all about them, don't you? I tell you, God the Son is just this protective of the gift. He's not going to let anything happen to us. He's going to fulfill all the word here. He's going to one day receive us, take us to the Father who will receive us for who we are. We're the sons and daughters of God. That's good news, isn't it? That's good news. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right, let's bow together. Our Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this good news. We're grateful for thy word. We're grateful that you've chosen us in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's done for us all that we need to have done. Lord, we pray for the blessing of thy grace in the days ahead. Bless this place. Bless this people. Lord, call out a people to worship thee. Lord, raise up a mighty work if it can be thy will here. Bring Gabe home safely to us. We pray your blessing this morning and tonight and in the days ahead. Lord, give us wisdom in all we do and say, and we'll give thee thanks in Christ's name. Amen. Caleb, have you got a closing hymn picked out? 352. We'll stand together and sing that closing hymn. 352.